My name is Grandmaster Caz. I'm one of the founding fathers of this cultural phenomenon known as hip hop.
You must learn.
Who's Malcolm X?
Malcolm X? Ain't that cat doing a movie with Spike Lee? Cause I think I remember seeing him like 15 years ago doing a scene on MacArthur on that movie The Mac. You know, I'm not positive, but I'm sure that was him though.
Who's Malcolm X?
Oh my God! It's a funny thing you brought that name up. Malcolm X is he's an excellent rapper, man. Oh God, he's so good. The video. Oh goodness, with the guy with the pup. Well, the guy with the big clock in the video. They all, oh, man, talk about a perfect rap team, man. That Malcolm X is just great, man.
Who's Malcolm X?
Yeah, Malcolm X to me, he's pretty dope. I think he got some fresh clothes. I got all his hats, all the cross colors and stuff. I hope he comes out with more stuff.
Who's Malcolm X? Who's Malcolm X? Who's Malcolm X?
Malcolm X at this time could be greater in death than he could be in life at this moment. Because when you have somebody around that's living, you tend to find fault with them. Malcolm X is dead and past now, but his teachings will live on forever. And if things are so right on that you have to study them, you have to share them with your children. And if there's some things you don't agree with, if you research his teachings and match it against the other things you've learned in school, you'll see that he's most consistent. So what Malcolm X means to me is that he was way ahead of his time. He was someone that we should look up to. He's someone that we should look for in his writings for some type of leadership, because we don't seem to have any person at this time that can help us.
Power, y'all, this is Sister Soldier. As far as Brother Malcolm X or El Hajj Malik Shabazz goes, he was a strong African brother who was waging revolutionary war and revolutionary consciousness in America. I think a lot of people have found it convenient to celebrate him in his form and not in his essence. Malcolm X, before he died, formed the Organization of African American Unity, which means that he was a Pan-Africanist and for the total liberation and unification of African people throughout the entire world. People are trying to make it seem like Brother Malcolm went to Mecca, came back and said that all white folks were cool, which is not true. Brother Malcolm went to Mecca and came back and said that he thought that Islam could be a civilizing force for white people if they embraced Islam, because he had seen whites who embraced Islam and had ridded themselves of some of the evil that he saw in the majority of whites in America. I think that we have to celebrate Malcolm by being about what Malcolm was about, because otherwise we're being hypocrites, or we're being fashionable, or we're being faddish. And if Brother Malcolm was here in 1992, he would have said that the rebellions in Los Angeles was a case of Even Stevens. And he would say that the chickens came home to roost.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to have just an off-the-cuff chat between you and me. Us. We want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand. We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed, that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is us.
reason she has a problem is she doesn't want us here. And every time you look at yourself, be you black, brown, red, or yellow, a so-called Negro, you represent a person who poses such a serious problem for America because you're not wanted. Once you face this as a fact, then you can start plotting a course that will make you appear intelligent instead of unintelligent. What you and I need to do is learn to forget our differences. When we come together, we don't come together as Baptists or Methodists. You don't catch hell because you're a Baptist, and you don't catch hell because you're a Methodist. You don't catch hell because you're a Methodist or a Baptist. You don't catch hell because you're a Democrat or a Republican. You don't catch hell because you're a Mason or an Elk. And you sure don't catch hell because you're an American, because if you was an American, you wouldn't catch no hell. You catch hell because you're a black man. You catch hell, all of us catch hell for the same reason. So we are all black people, so-called Negroes, second-class citizens, ex-slaves. You're nothing but an ex-slave. You don't like to be told that. But what else are you? You are ex-slave. You didn't come here on the Mayflower. You came here in a slave ship, in chains, like a horse or a cow or a chicken. And you were brought here by the people who came here on the Mayflower. You were brought here by the so-called pilgrims or founding fathers. They were the ones who brought you here. We have a common enemy. We have this in common. We have a common oppressor, a common exploiter, and a common discriminator. So once we all realize that we have this common enemy, then we unite on the basis of what we have in common. And what we have foremost in common is that enemy, the white man.
When the government of Portugal began to trample upon the Association means you should control your own, the politics of your community, the economy of your community, and all of the society in which you live should be under your control. And when, and once you feel that this philosophy will solve your problem, go join any church where that's preached. Don't join a church where white nationalism is preached. Now you can go to a Negro church and be exposed to white nationalism. But when you walk in a Negro church and you see a white Jesus and a white Mary and some white angels, that Negro church is preaching white nationalism. But when you go to a church and you see the pastor of that church with a philosophy and a program that's designed to bring black people together and elevate black people, join that church. Join that church. If you see where the NAACP is preaching and practicing that which is designed to make black nationalism materialize, join NAACP. Join any kind of organization, civic, religious, fraternal, political, or otherwise, that's based on lifting the black man up and making him master of his own community.
Breakdown FM, fresh for the new millennium.
You suckers.
No, since the federal government has shown that it isn't going to do anything about it but talk, then it is a duty. It's your and my duty as men, as human beings. It's our duty to our people to organize ourselves. And let the government know that if they don't stop that Klan, we'll stop it ourselves. And then you'll see the government start doing something about it. But don't ever think that they're going to do it just on some kind of morality basis. No. We only mean vigorous action in self-defense. And that vigorous action, we feel, we're justified in initiating by any means necessary. And when we say this, the press calls us racists in reverse. With skillful manipulating of the press, they're able to make the victim look like the criminal, and the criminal look like the victim. Right now, when in New York, we had a couple cases where police grabbed the brother and beat him unmercifully, then charged him with assaulting them. They use the press to make it look like he's the criminal and they're the victim. This is how they do it. And if you study how they do it here, then you'll know how they do it over here. It's the same game going all the time. And if you and I don't awaken and see what this man is doing to us, then it'll be too late. They may have the gas ovens already built before you realize that they're hot.
A white man, he wants you to remain a boy. He wants you to remain a lackey. He wants you to remain dependent on him. He wants you to come looking to him for some kind of advice, for some kind of teacher. No, you teach yourself and stand up for yourself and respect yourself and know yourself and defend yourself and be yourself, and you'll be recognized as an intelligent person. I purposely say the government. That's who it is. FBI, CIA. They sneak around here in Harlem trying to frighten you into thinking that if you be a Muslim, you're going to catch hell. You already caught hell. You can't catch any more hell than you have caught. No, anytime you live in a government where its Federal Bureau of Investigation will spend its time running around here trying to frighten Negroes into thinking that they will be chastised for becoming Muslim, for accepting the religion of Islam, that government has fallen to a low level. Anytime, and the FBI does it. The FBI walks around here asking questions, trying to frighten somebody. They ought to be told this is a new day. Nobody afraid of any FBI. Why should they bother us? We obey the law. We respect the law. We teach our people to obey the law. They should thank us. They should try and get you to become a Muslim. But they don't want you to be a law-abiding person. They don't want you to be a respecter of the law. They want you to be a criminal. They want you to be a lawbreaker. They want you to be immoral so they'll have an alibi to come in and bust your head with their club. No, this is what the FBI does. And God's going to chastise them for using their power in the wrong way. No, that's what they do with their officers down there in the Department of Injustice, calling themselves, or rather in the Department of Justice, calling themselves their respecter or protector of someone's rights. This is not fair for them to do this. They know what I'm saying is true. It's what they do. They come knocking on our door trying to frighten our little children. Are you a Muslim? What you look like asking our little children, is that child a Muslim? I tell the old devil, you must believe it too, or you wouldn't be wasting all your money trying to track us down. One of those old blue-eyed things had the nerve to, a couple of years ago, to go to Philadelphia and tell the Muslims that their brother Malcolm is talking about white people and he's in New York living with a white woman. Imagine this. I told the brothers, next time the old FBI come and tell you that, you tell them that if I'm in New York living with a white woman, it's his mother. His blue-eyed mother. And since she's living with me, as he says, I can tell him what his mother is like. What she does. How nasty she is. How dog-like she is. Yes, you tell him that.
Holding you down and keeping you on point. Breakdown FM, the only station in the nation that's down by law.
That's no revolution. Revolution is based on land. Land is the basis of all independence. Land is the basis of freedom, justice, and equality. The white man knows what a revolution is. He knows that the black revolution is worldwide, in scope, and in nature. The black revolution is sweeping Asia, sweeping Africa. It's rearing its head in Latin America. The Cuban Revolution, that's a revolution. They overturned the system. Revolution is in Asia. Revolution is in Africa. And the white man is screaming because he sees revolution in Latin America. How do you think he'll react to you when you learn what a real revolution is? You don't know what a revolution is. If you did, you wouldn't lose your mind. A revolution is bloody. Revolution is hostile. Revolution knows no compromise. Revolution overturns and destroys everything that gets in its way. And you sitting around here like a knot on the wall, saying I'm gonna love these folks no matter how much they hate me. No, you be the revolution. Whoever heard of a revolution? Yeah. Where they lock on, as Reverend Cleek was pointing out beautifully, singing, "We shall overcome." Just tell me you don't do that in a revolution. You don't do any singing, you're too busy swinging. It's based on land. A revolutionary wants land so he can set up his own nation. An independent nation. These Negroes aren't asking for no nation. They're trying to crawl back on the plantation. When you want a nation, that's called nationalism.
dark and the nights are cold. People acting like they lost their soul. And everywhere I go, I see another person like me trying to make it all feel like home. Feel like home. These days are dark and the nights are cold. People acting like they lost their soul. And everywhere I go, I see another person like me trying to make it all feel like home. Standing on
white the- can help us, but they can't join us. They can. There can be no black-white unity until there is first some black unity. We cannot think of being acceptable to others until we have first proven acceptable to ourselves. Concerning nonviolence, it is criminal to teach a man not to defend himself when he is the constant victim of brutal attacks. There are problems in the community. Some of the examples of those problems are the vices that destroy the moral fiber in our community. Drunkenness, drug addiction, prostitution, organized crime that robs the Negro community of probably 90% of its economic potential and moral potential. One of my reasons for going out on a limb as I have is to try and make white people be shocked awake to some of their senses, because if they don't awake, they're going to find out that this little Negro that they thought was passive has become a roaring, uncontrollable lion right at their doorstep, not at their doorstep, inside their house, in their bed, in their kitchen, in their attic, in their basement. And if you know that in time, you can do something about it.
What do you think of Malcolm X's death?
I know it was no accident.
Who do you believe is responsible for Malcolm X's death?
The white power structure in America is behind it. They're quick to capitalize on by saying that one of them is old kind did it, but they put it up to be done.
What do you mean, the white power structure?
The white power structure of America. They know they had more to gain by getting Malcolm X out of the way than they had to buy and let him live. That's why I say.
But what is the white power structure?
Never mind, I just said the white power structure. You know the white race, don't you?
In the last year, like Roy Wilkins said, he changed. He wanted to get along with the white people. But you people didn't want to get along with us.
What does Malcolm X's death mean to you? What do you feel about it?
What do you feel about it now?
What do you feel about it?
It's a blow to every black people in the United States of America. Black!
It's what?
It's a blow, he said.
It's a blow.
He said it's a blow to every black American, black people in the United States. That's what he was saying.
Why is it a blow to you?
Because he's a part of me. Because he looks like me. Stop and his skin is me. He's a black man and I'm a black man. And he takes up a black man's position.
That's right.
He was a hero to me. He stood out among all black people.
That's
why
right,
the white man wear with that? Why was he a hero? Why was he all fit in Princeton and all these big white universities? Because they respected him too, the way I respected him.
That's
he meant
right.
something to me. That's why I'm down here.
That's right.
Well, they killed Malcolm X. Well, they had the right killing him.
He
that's
was
right.
for me and
he
I
was for him.
Right.
If you kill him, you're going to be more killing going on.
That's right.
And you're saying that you believe this was paid for by
whites? By white people. Because what would it benefit? What would it benefit one of us to kill him? It wouldn't benefit nothing. Wouldn't benefit us anything at all. Just a white power structure of this country. Anytime a black man in this country stands up for his constitutional rights, he dies. What did Malcolm X mean to you?
He meant a great deal to me and my people. I'm sorry that a good man is gone. At the first idea of it, I couldn't have cried anymore, I don't believe, if I had lost my mother.
What did he mean to you? Can you tell me a bit more about it?
He meant deliverance for my people. And I hope we all walk in the same footsteps as Malcolm X was walking in.
Here. At this final hour, in this quiet place, Harlem has come to bid farewell to one of its brightest hopes, extinguished now and gone from us forever. For Harlem is where he worked and where he struggled and fought. His home of homes, where his heart was and where his people are. And it is therefore most fitting that we meet once again in Harlem to share these last moments with him. For Harlem has ever been gracious to those who have loved her, have fought for her, and have defended her honor even to the death. It is not in the memory of man that this beleaguered, unfortunate, but nonetheless proud community has found a braver, more gallant young champion than this Afro-American who lies before us, unconquered still. Many will ask what Harlem finds to honor in this stormy, controversial, and bold young captain, and we will smile, and we will answer and say unto them, did you ever talk to Brother Malcolm? Did he ever touch you? Did you have him smile at you? Did you ever really listen to him? Did he ever do a mean thing? Was he ever himself associated with violence or any public disturbance? For if you did, you would know him. And if you knew him, you would know why we must honor him. Malcolm was our manhood, our living black manhood. That was his meaning to his people. And in honoring him, we honor the best in ourselves. And we will know him then for what he was and is. A prince, our black shining prince, who didn't hesitate to die because he loved us so.
To be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
Everywhere I go, I see another person like me trying to make it all feel like home. Standing on the
WBRKD Breakdown FM, where we break down news, views, and the hip-hop movement.